Hey everyone, this is the podcast Aprenda Inglês com Inamara Ruda e esse é um episódio 100% em inglês. Nessa aula, eu e a professora Anne-Marie, lá de Londres, vamos discorrer sobre as diferenças entre o inglês americano e o inglês britânico. E não tem só a questão da pronúncia, tem coisa sobre estrutura também. Depois me manda uma mensagem lá no Instagram ou me marca nos stories para eu saber o que você mais gostou. E já coloca na agenda, a partir do dia 27 de janeiro vai rolar o workshop Rumo à Fluência no Inglês, uma semana inteira de treinamento gratuito comigo, onde eu vou te guiar nos seus primeiros passos na direção certa rumo à fluência. Só se cadastrar lá no inamara.com/workshop. Então é isso, stay tuned and listen up. I'm delighted to bring her here on my channel because she's gonna give us the best class discussing the difference between American and British English. So, Anne-Marie, what do you have for us?
Well, Inamara, I thought we do know generally nowadays with a lot of Netflix and American TV series, a lot of different vocabulary.
Yes.
So I thought, let's look at some of the things my students find difficult in class,
right?
Because maybe they've learned American English. If they're from Asia, certain countries, Korea, Japan, China, Brazil, you learn American English.
Yes, you do.
So it's not just vocabulary. We're going to look at grammar, spelling, pronunciation, as well as a bit of vocabulary.
I told you this would be the best class on the subject. So where are we starting?
Well, I'm going to start at a big difference using the present perfect.
Right.
Now, the present perfect uses have, has, and a past participle. So, for example, we say, I've lost my key in
right.
English. And have you seen it?
Have you seen it? So this is the structure of it.
Yeah, it's the present perfect simple.
Okay.
Have you seen it? I've lost it.
Okay.
And in American English, they don't say that. They just use the simple past where they say, I lost my key, did you see it?
So they don't really use it that much as you guys use here.
No.
Right.
So that's one of the big problems a lot of students get confused about.
They do.
Yeah. So in British English, we use it all the time. It's really one of the most used tenses because it joins the past
yes.
with the present. And for the news, it's always in the present perfect. Everything's explained a lot of the time. So it's one of the first tenses people need to learn to be British or to sound British. Another use of the present perfect is when we use the word already.
Right.
So we say, she's already eaten.
She's already eaten.
Yeah. Which means it's happened before.
Right.
Or already means earlier or previously.
Okay.
Americans tend to use this expression in a way such as, just stop already, do it already. And it's used to express impatience.
I've never thought about that.
And with the present tense.
Can you imagine using already in the present tense?
Finish up already.
That's different.
Yeah, so it just means hurry up.
Hurry up,
do
the same thing.
Okay. So it doesn't mean earlier or previously. So that's a big difference.
This is new for you. I guess you've never heard about it, but see? You're here to learn with us. So, what's the next?
Right, the next thing is the use of prepositions.
Right.
So, British, we like to say at the weekend or at weekends, at Easter, at Christmas, because it's that period.
Right.
But Americans use on because they're thinking of the day, on weekends, on Easter, on Christmas.
You see, I learned to use on, so I would never think that at it is actually right, it's not wrong. So you can use at and you can use on, they're both correct. Just bear in mind that they are mainly used in different places. So
exactly, and I tell students it's not wrong, but just be aware. If you're going to use American English, you stick to American English.
You see?
And if you're doing an exam or going to university in England, you might want to use British English.
Absolutely, very good.
If you're here for a long stay. Then the one that got me, really confused me, was different. Now in England, I've always said different to.
Right.
So your accent is different to mine.
Right.
Then a lot of people say it's different from the other one.
Yes, when you're comparing it, right?
Yeah, so you're just looking at the differences and then different from that. I still say different to. All my life I've said different to.
Right.
Yeah. But from makes sense to me as well.
Okay.
Even though it's the opposite, to and from.
Exactly.
But it's logical in British, the British mind. Yeah.
So in America they would mainly say from. They wouldn't
That's
say
That's right.
To.
But they've got another one that I never use, and I watched it on Netflix.
Yes.
And I watched it on one of my favourite TV programmes, which is quite highbrow, a lawyer, legal programme. She said different than.
That's the one I use.
Yeah. And I was like, her grammar's terrible. Or, hang on, my grammar's terrible. What am I teaching? So I had to stop the DVD. I had to check it in the dictionary, and I yes. found out it was American.
So you see, usually we Brazilians, we tend to learn more the American way of talking, and this is what I learned when I was studying. But now I can see there's a big mix. There are many ways to say that, so if you didn't know that, now you know.
Both Americans and Brits say different from. So if you get stuck,
so confusing.
Stick with from. Stick. I say different to, and you say
different than.
There you go.
Perfect.
Now, you and I, in America, we get on well with each
other.
We do,
definitely.
Which means we have a good relationship, a nice connection and rapport.
Yes.
Now, Americans don't say get on well with.
What do they say?
Get along well with.
Why? Why do they have to do it so differently? I mean, get on, get along, especially with the verb to get, right? Mm. There are so many ways to use it. But in this case, you can use both of them on the same sense, right?
Yeah, I think we understand each other, get along. And we can also say, how are you getting on? It means, how are you progressing with something?
Right.
And I think Americans say, how are you getting along with that? So get along is the American, get on. Get on with your work, get on with a person, British.
All right, bear that in mind.
And we call that a phrasal verb.
Phrasal verb. Yeah. All right.
Now, the next thing I want to tell you, the next difference,
yes,
is spelling. The spelling of verbs. Yes. So, here. Spelling of verbs. So, American spelling tends to be more simplified, maybe
right.
easier to remember. When it comes to verbs in English, sometimes people who have learned American English are confused. For example, the verb burn.
Right, burn.
The past tense of burn is burnt.
Burnt. So you have like a T in the end, not a D, right?
Yes, because it sounds like burnt. You burnt the toast, you burnt right. the dinner. Yeah?
Yes.
Now, Americans spell it like a regular verb, burned, E-D.
So
burned.
E-D.
But British put the T on it because it sounds like a T.
Why?
I think it's something to do with Shakespeare.
Right.
A long time ago.
Must be.
And it could be something to do with the origins of English coming from German.
Right.
I think that's because I did learn German.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a big possibility.
It's a huge possibility. Another one is the, funnily enough, the verb spell. So how do you spell the past tense of spell?
Spelled?
Spelt, it sounds like, so in English we spell it with a T.
Right.
S-P-E, single L, T, spelt.
So a T in the end. So if you see it as like with D-E-D in the end or letter T, they are both correct. They just come from different places.
You can just say, how is this word spelt? If it's British, S-P-E-L-T.
Perfect.
If it's American, S-P-E-double-L. E-D.
Big difference. So difference with L and difference in the end with E-D and T.
Exactly.
Good.
Then we've got the verb dream. Now, dream sounds regular, but in English pronunciation, the Brits, we pronounce it, are you ready? Dreamt.
No way. No way.
Yeah.
I always said dreamed.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I've always said dreamt. I've never dreamt of that.
So American, dreamed.
Yeah.
Brits, dreamt.
Yeah.
Dreamed, dreamt. Dreamed, dreamt.
Have you ever dreamt of becoming a millionaire?
I have.
So have I. Yeah, so we just pronounce it. We don't say dreamed, we say dreamt. So that's
dreamt.
Another difference.
Another one.
And then there's this one where the Americans are totally illogical, in my opinion. Dive.
That makes no sense.
The past tense of dive is a regular verb, dived.
No sense at all.
Well, Americans, they've made it irregular and changed it completely to dove.
Why again? So dove. Americans will say that the past of to dive is dove. Right?
Yeah.
In Britain?
Dived.
Dived. I would never say this is a regular verb. I mean, do you consider it a regular verb just because it ends with ed?
Yeah, I suppose dive, dived, dived. Dive, dive, dived, easy.
Right.
I dived in Thailand. Have you ever dived in Hawaii? I have dived in both places. But Americans, they dove.
They dove. Like the bird.
Like a dove. Yeah, but anyway, they pronounce it dove.
Right, so they spell it, the spell is the same, dove.
As dove. D-O-V-E. That's strange.
Dove and dove. Dove, dove.
Yeah.
Different words, same spelling.
Yeah, and English just say dived. So actually, British English is actually more logical here.
I always said that. People don't believe me.
Right, now, moving on to other spellings, let's look at some different in spelling. The word's the same, but it's spelt differently.
Right.
Moving on to other spellings, let's look at some different in spelling. The word's the same, but it's spelt differently.
Right.
The colour grey.
Grey.
In English, it's spelt with an E, E-Y,
so grey. Grey, and the pronunciation is just like E, like grey,
yeah.
Grey.
So Americans simplified that and spelt it A-Y.
A-Y.
Grey.
The pronunciation is the same?
Grey, grey, same.
Just when you're writing it, pay attention, both are correct.
Exactly.
Just depending on, like, if you're talking to an American or to a British person, or if you're doing a specific test, then you would have to be really aware, otherwise, both correct.
Exactly.
What else?
Then, colour.
Colour.
Americans, C-O-L-O-R.
O-R, right, colour.
As well as the word labour, which means work.
Yes.
Labour, L-A-B-O-R.
Right.
Well, in England, we like to put a U in it.
Just because you like it.
Yes, O-U-R on the end. So you're going to see the difference. Same pronunciation.
The same.
Yeah, maybe Americans say collar.
Collar.
But we say colour.
Colour. Ah, this is something really interesting about Brits.
Yes.
You usually say this R in the end. Like something better with this R in the end. You say better.
Yes, or much better.
Much better.
Yeah, not a R.
Yeah, they don't have this R in the
no,
end.
That's right. We don't do that either.
Okay.
Then, centre, theatre, and metre.
Right.
100 metres in the Olympics, for example.
Yes.
We spell it the French way. So, M-E-T-R-E.
R-E.
Theatre. T-R-E.
Right.
Centre, T-R-E. So some people want to read it centra, theatra, metra. No, center, theatre, meter.
Right. So when you're saying more or less same thing as Americans, but just bear in mind that both ways of writing are correct.
Just don't say centra.
Centra.
Centra. It's not, it's t.
It would be like usually sometimes, I don't know, I've heard people from East Europe, they would say like great or no, like they usually
yes.
have this R really strong, so centre, great or
that's true, you know, actually.
Things
it sounds
like
very
that. East European, right?
Slavic,
yes.
Polish or Bulgarian or something. It's
yeah.
true. Yeah. But I think the Turkish students want to say centre. So maybe it's similar to their language, but it's not, just say centre.
Just say the right way.
So that can be annoying for people. I think the American spelling, E-R, is more logical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, that's our spelling. I think we should look at vocabulary that's different.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so typical words. I mean, of course, there are many, but I've just picked a few.
Right.
Maybe you don't know them as well as the other ones.
Okay.
Okay. So when I go to the supermarket, when I finish getting my shopping, which Americans call groceries.
Mm-hmm.
When I finish getting my groceries, I take the bags to my car and I put them in the boot.
Right. The boot, like the one you wear on your shoes?
No. It's the back of my car. I put the bags in the back of the car, in the boot.
But the way how you write it is the same.
Oh, the spelling is identical. Yeah, it's the correct spelling, boot. And Americans say, put it in the trunk.
Completely different.
For British people, the trunk is part of an elephant's nose. Yeah, the elephant's nose is the trunk.
Right. Completely different, oh my goodness.
Yep. Or part of a tree, tree trunk. It's the body of the tree.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So we call it the boot of the car. Okay.
Trunk, if you're in America.
Exactly. Then if you go to school or university, in England we have three terms. But in the States, you have three semesters.
Right, in Brazil we say semestre, which is, I guess, similar to the American way.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't say semester, you say term.
I think that's a Latin word because the French also say
possibly,
that.
Yes.
I think so. Then in the kitchen or in the bathroom, when you want some water, we have to turn the tap.
Tap. Can I have some tap water?
Correct, yes. So we run the tap.
Yes.
Yeah. But in America, it's called a faucet.
Faucet.
Yes.
You see, I didn't even know this word. I just learned tap. And then when someone said faucet, I was like, what? You see, I've just learned English from everywhere. And I never know if it's British or American.
Yeah, and I think, watching TV helps us, actually. If you watch a British program, then you'll hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And the American. Then a little bit Canadian also has slightly different vocabulary. But we won't do that right now. I don't see that many Canadian programs, actually. But I have Canadian friends. But yeah, a little, slightly different. Canadian is in between North American, American and British.
Okay.
Then in England, we talk about the town centre.
Town centre.
Americans say downtown.
Downtown.
Yeah, yes. I'm sure you all know that.
What about that TV show, Downtown Abbey?
That's really Downton.
Downton. Downton.
Yeah, no. I've never watched that, actually. I have to watch it. I'm letting my country down. Okay. I haven't got time to watch all these programmes. I will watch it. Then, when you're on your clothes, you do your zip up.
Zip up.
Yeah, so zip up your clothes, your jacket, or maybe on your jeans. But Americans say, do your zipper up.
Zipper. So there is an E-R in the end.
Exactly.
In the end or at the end?
At the end. At the end of the word. Because it's at the end of something, yeah?
At the end of this
video, we will say goodbye. Well, not yet. Not ready yet. Not ready to do that yet.
Okay.
So, postcode. In England, we say, what's your postcode? When you write your postal address, your mail address, not email, but postal. Americans say zip code. So if someone says to a British person, what's your zip? You're going, zip? What's my zip?
What? Oh, really?
Oh, how embarrassing. Yeah, but it's zip code in England is postcode.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then probably you know the difference between petrol in English, British English, and gas. You put gas in your car.
Yes.
Petrol in Britain.
Yes.
But sometimes that could be confusing because I don't know what Americans call gas. Like the gas coming through your pipe.
Yeah.
And if you know anybody, please let Inamara know because I don't know.
You hear all the comments.
Yeah, please do. So gas is like if you have a gas fire or gas barbecue.
You see, in Brazil we say gasoline. Maybe it comes from American English. Gasoline, like petrol.
Which means petrol.
Yeah.
Mm. I really don't know.
Maybe there is something
gas
to do.
Maybe they say butane or something else, but I don't know what gas is. Maybe gas is gas as well. Barbecue.
You see, in Brazil we say gasoline. Maybe it comes from American English. Gasoline, like petrol.
Which means petrol.
Yeah.
Mm. I really don't know.
Maybe there is something
gas
to do.
Maybe they say butane or something else, but I don't know what gas is. Maybe gas is gas as well. One I definitely know is the difference in when you're shopping, online shopping, put it in your trolley.
Trolley.
Put it in your trolley, which you wheel around the supermarket.
Yes.
But in American English, they say cart.
Cart.
Shopping
yes.
cart.
Shopping cart. It's very common to see it online. If you're
exactly.
shopping online, you have to add it on your cart.
That's right. And then you have to check out when your cart, when you've got enough in your cart.
Yes.
Yes, but in England it's trolley.
Trolley, okay.
Then another one I think we, for everyday English that you need, is if you're in a restaurant, you say, can I have the bill, please?
Yeah, so if you want to pay, you ask for the bill.
Yes, but Americans will say, check, please.
Can I have the check, please? I want to pay.
Yeah, so bill in American English is money, $5 bill.
Mm-hmm.
But can I have the bill when you've finished your meal? Okay?
Okay.
When it comes to food as well, when I go to a sort of fast food place, okay, they say, do you want to take it away? But in American English, they say, do you want to have it here or to go?
Yeah. So if you don't want to eat inside the restaurant, you want to take your food and eat at home, then two ways, take away in Britain and to go in America.
Exactly. So yes, can I have it to go? If you say that in Britain, they'll be like, go where? Go where?
Where
take away. I want to take it away with me.
Yes.
So
makes
say that.
Much more sense.
Oh yes, talking of money.
Money. Ah, now I want to talk, yes.
Can you lend me a tenner?
Of course I can, yes, yeah, sure.
Or have you got 10 quid?
I do.
Have you got 10 quid? What's a quid?
Quid!
Oh, if I say, can you give me 10 bucks? Is that easier to understand?
Maybe for American English, yes.
So that's when you want to borrow a note. In England, we say quid for pounds.
Right, so 10 quid, 10 pounds.
Or a tenner.
Or a tenner, that's interesting as well. So tenner, fiver, whatever
it, really.
Money you have.
Yes.
That's it, just tenner, yeah.
Or
fiver.
A quid.
Or a quid.
Yeah, so if it's 20 or 50, we don't say that, anything. We just say tenner or fiver.
Okay.
So it's quite slang, really. Nice. Americans use the word bucks for dollars. We use the word quid for pounds.
Very good.
Right, well, at the end of this all, look at that cover pronunciation. Oh, see, I thought I'm doing everything. Right, pronunciation. So these are some of the words that annoy British people.
Right.
If you say it in the American way.
Don't annoy British people.
That's not British. Okay. So if I say herb.
Herb.
Herb. Such as basil.
Basil.
Oregano.
Oregano.
British people say pardon.
Pardon me, excuse me.
Yes, we want herbs.
Herbs.
Yes, we like basil.
Basil.
And oregano.
Oregano.
Yes. So very be good. Careful which country you're in.
Learning.
Maybe they won't understand you.
Bear that in mind.
And then the metal. So sometimes, I don't know if you ever wrap your food and the barbecue in
yes.
metal foil.
Yes.
Do you? I don't know. In Brazil,
yes,
maybe
we
don't.
We do.
Well, the Americans call it aluminum.
Aluminum.
But in England, we call it aluminium.
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 Very different.
Aluminum.
So aluminium. It really sounds wrong.
It
aluminum.
Just sounds strange and it annoys us. Then, if you want to be on your own, you want some privacy.
Privacy. Ooh, that's weird.
What do Americans say?
Privacy.
Yeah, well, to me that's logical because private is the adjective privacy.
Yeah.
It sounds logical to me, but keep it private. I need some privacy in British English.
Right.
They change the pronunciation. Or
privacy. Yeah, that's different for me, privacy.
Yeah.
I would say privacy. Yeah.
So that can be annoying for students, honestly.
Yes.
And then the one that I prefer the American pronunciation of, I stick with the American here, is schedule.
Schedule, yes, that's how I say it, schedule.
Mm. And British people say schedule.
Schedule.
On schedule.
On schedule.
I
different.
Hate that because it sounds like I've drunk too many beers, too many pints, and I'm slurring my speech. So I feel a bit drunk if I say schedule.
My schedule.
So for me, I prefer the American pronunciation.
Yeah, me too, in this case, me too.
Right, now, we have mostly done everything except
yes.
for my two slang expressions.
Let's learn slang.
Just a couple today because
okay.
it's too much at once. You can't remember it all. I was doing a lesson on crime this morning.
Right.
Don't think I did anything naughty. But one thing that came up was if you get nicked by the police.
Get nicked. Right, this is different. Get nicked.
Get nicked by the police.
Right.
This is British English. Let me tell you the American and see if you can guess what the American version
Let's
is.
Let's see.
Have you ever got busted for a crime?
Have you ever got busted? Busted, that's how I should pronounce busted?
Busted.
Okay.
He got busted.
So that
by
means...
the cops. He got busted by the cops.
That's very American. So that means to be arrested, right?
Yeah, to be arrested by the police.
No good.
Get nicked, got nicked in British English.
Okay.
Got busted.
Good to know, just in case.
Just be careful. Don't get busted.
Don't.
And at the end of this all, I would like to use a nice British expression when you're really, really, oh, that was really, really good, but now I'm knackered.
Knackered. Knackered.
Absolutely knackered.
Like really, really, what, exhausted?
Yes. And the Americans say, I'm beat.
I'm beat.
Beat.
How do you spell it?
B-E-A-T.
B-E-A-T, like beat.
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 I'm beat.
Beat.
So like beat the drum. Beat.
Yes, so the same thing.
I don't know where they got that from, I'm beat. But English say knackered.
I never heard actually the American version. I've heard many times the British version, but American one, never.
Yes, well, I think I picked that up yesterday. I was watching something. Oh, they say I'm beat. Yes.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting.
If we use the verb beat in English, British English, it's about football. My okay. team beat your team.
Right, good to know.
Lovely.
Okay, so this is what you've got for us. Thank you so much. Is there any others?
I think that's it.
Yeah, well,
we've covered a broad spectrum of differences.
I told you this would be the best video on the subject. Well, I'm sure you loved it.
And yeah, make sure you practice at home the British pronunciation.
Yes.
And I hope to see you in London.
Yes, come
soon.
To London. Also, if you want to come to London with me, there is a link down here to know more information about how to come to London and have classes with this amazing lady. Okay.
All the best, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.